podcast uses profanity and topics may be disturbing for some listeners. Listen at your own risk. Welcome back to Helen Hills Podcast. I'm Bryce.
I'm Amanda.
And hello. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I am here. We're hanging in there. Yeah. Done with baby showers. Thank the Lord.
Congratulations.
Work's been rough, but that kind of feels like a me problem.
I'm still sorry. I know you've had some wild schedules.
Not even anticipated wild schedules. It's fine. It's fine. We just broke a couple customers.
Oh.
I have to be up at midnight tonight.
Oh. You did not tell me that. Until right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I gotta be up at midnight tonight. Last time I did that, I couldn't fall asleep until 10:30. And then my alarm went off at 11:45.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Let's think. I've got to tell you a story about Mill.
Okay.
Specifically, I had to tell you about her joke.
Okay, I'm excited. Did she come up with this herself, or?
Yes, and this was a joke she said to my dad.
Okay.
So, what were they doing? So, Mill didn't go to school one day because she had an eye doctor's appointment, got dilated, and it was like a half day at school anyways. So, it was just a year for her to not go to school. So, my mom has her and my nephews that she watches, and they go to my dad's work, and they drop off donuts.
Fun.
Right? How nice. But the little boys, my nephews, I guess are being really annoying at the time. But I mean, they're little boys.
Okay. Yeah.
And Mill goes to my dad and she says, knock, knock. And so who's there? And she says, the boys are annoying. And my dad says, the boys are annoying who? And she goes, me and mom.
That girl's going places.
She's a crack up.
That girl's going places. It kind of like... It didn't occur to me until the last minute, like right before you said it.
Same.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah.
Perfect. So when I talked to my dad, he's like, I'm going to use that one on Mill too.
Snaps for Mill, honestly. I'm going to use that.
That was a good one. I was that impressed. I was impressed. But
I don't know what she plans on doing, but stand up, definitely on the table.
I don't know, but I was dying. I was laughing my butt off because who just comes up with that? Apparently her. The other good news is that this week they won their first game.
What?
Yeah. So
do we have a score? Can we have a score?
Do you want me to text my dad and ask for a score?
I would like to know a score. I mean,
text.
Either way, it's a score.
I just said, sweet, they won, and nobody got kicked off the field.
Now that.
That I'm aware of.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it could change.
Yeah, that could change if he goes, well, after so-and-so and so-and-so, we're all kicked off the field. I don't know.
Is this a regular occurrence?
Getting kicked off the field?
Yeah.
No, I just like to give my dad a hard time. I've started calling him before games and being like, Dad, remember... If you yell time out too loud, it's going to freak someone out. Oh, it was 20-0.
Ooh, it was a shutout.
So there you have it. They won 20-0. It was a good game, apparently.
Oh, wow. For them.
For them, yeah.
That's okay. We don't care about the other team.
Yeah, I don't care about the other
team. I'm sure they did great.
They played their hardest.
Yeah, it just wasn't good enough. So.
It's fine. But yeah, so there's that. I feel like there was something else I was going to tell you about. Was it dog related?
Was it dog related?
Do I have pictures? Is there something that's going to remind me?
I don't know.
No, that's just me being fat and pregnant.
Oh, okay. I remember those days.
You know what? I know what it was. I was going to complain to you. This was a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And I am bitter still.
Did I do something?
No.
Okay, good.
Pizza Hut did something.
Those bastards.
I was craving Pizza Hut. Specifically their square pizzas. That like the dinner box where you can get like the pizza with the breadsticks and the cinnamon sticks.
Uh-huh.
I was craving because those pizza have a thicker crust, right? So that's what I was craving.
And more crust, right?
Yeah. Well, get your hand out of
food. Sorry. He's grabby.
So it was just, I was hungry. I was in bed. I didn't feel well that day. Like, I'd been super nauseous, and just overall, it wasn't a good day. And it was getting late, and Cody's like, I don't really want to cook. And I was like, well, I'll just order Pizza Hut and have it delivered. Not a big deal, right? Like, I know it's in budget. That's our, you know, money to eat out, whatever. No big deal. So I order Pizza Hut. And Pizza Hut does this really annoying thing, at least in our area. I don't know if this is every area, but they don't have delivery drivers anymore.
I think I've heard of that they use DoorDash?
Uh-huh.
Like mm-hmm. contract out or something?
Yeah. So whatever they have, they use DoorDash.
Okay.
So that's not a big deal. Whatever. Okay. As long as the food gets to me, I don't care. You know? The issue is the food didn't fucking get to me.
Ever?
Never. I was so ticked off. So basically what happens is I place the order. I get the text from DoorDash saying, hey, this is like your driver's status and blah, blah, blah. And I always look at those ones just to make sure everything's good. But I'm looking at it and I'm like, that's taking the driver to the next city over. That's not taking them to us. And I'm like, what is going on? And I'm looking at, I'm double checking. I'm like, I know I didn't put in the wrong address. What's happening? So I'm looking at the Pizza Hut app where I ordered through, and it shows the correct address, but the DoorDash app has the wrong one. And so I try calling the driver. Well, both me and Cody try calling the driver. The driver doesn't speak English, which, all right, that's fine, but that's still frustrating. And so I get a text from him, all in Spanish, and I Google Translate that. So I send them a text that I have Google Translated back to them saying the address that it is showing you is incorrect. And I tell him, like, I did not put that address in. I don't know where it came from. It wasn't even a full address.
So this was an app issue some way, somehow.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm just like trying to explain to them that this Pizza Hut order, it goes to where I am, like, you know, and I was like, I get a feeling he doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care. He's whatever. And he didn't care. So
he get paid regardless.
Yeah. So basically what happened is they still went to the address that, by the way, it was a non-existent address. And perfect. I could have told them that.
So it wasn't even like a house.
No.
So he got a free pizza.
Uh-huh.
Perfect.
So, well, okay. Well, where my frustration is DoorDash calls us with someone that speaks English. And I'm like, I don't know why he went there. I already told him it had the wrong address. I told him something happened between the apps from Pizza Hut to DoorDash. And that I put in the correct address. It converted it on the app side incorrectly. And that it should have been going to this address. DoorDash just freaking cancels the order.
What? What?
Yeah.
No, I still want my food.
So I'm frustrated. I'm like, you know what? Let's just get a refund at this point. You know, whatever. So we're I keep trying to call. Every time we call to get a refund or get help of any sort, our calls are disconnected from Pizza Hut. Oh, we were so irritated. So we actually drive in because I'm like, absolutely not. We're not doing this. Yeah. We drive in and the lady, she's like, I can't issue you a refund if you ordered through DoorDash. I'm like, no. I did not order through DoorDash. I ordered through Pizza Hut.
I ordered through you. Mm-hmm. Y'all send it to DoorDash.
And so she has to do all this stuff. And she's like, my manager will refund you tomorrow. I did not get a refund, in case you're wondering. I've still got to dispute it with my bank. But Cody went in a few days later, because I was still craving Pizza Hut. I was like, you know what? As long as we can pick it up, there's no DoorDash involved, it should be fine.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm still planning on disputing charges and blah, blah, blah. I still need to. And he asked about that refund and explained, and the lady was like, we hate DoorDash. She was actually telling him, we don't encourage anyone to do delivery anymore because of it.
Oh.
And so she gave Cody the food for free, which is very nice.
Aww.
And also gave us a credit.
Cool.
Which maybe that's why I'm not so inclined to do the dispute anymore, because she's given us more value than what we lost already. Right. But yeah. I should still do this dispute. I just haven't been in touch with the bank yet to do that. Anyways, my point being, I was pissed. So like the night that we went in where we did not get our food, I was crying because I'm fat and pregnant, and I'd waited over an hour for my food. And I was like, this heifer just stole our food. I was so annoyed. I'm like, you know he's enjoying our pizza right now.
Can you give him, like, a horrible review?
No, they canceled. They canceled the entire thing.
Those sons of bitches.
So we go in that night, and then I'm like, I'm not ordering, because, you know, that night I'm bitter with Pizza Hut. I'm like, I am not ordering through Pizza Hut again. They're going to refund us. So we went to Papa John's.
We have a Pizza Hut, but we, like, that's not even a thought to me. I want Domino's. The only reason I want Pizza Hut is because they have such a good taco pizza. And from my understanding, they don't do that anymore. So I have no reason to go to them.
I just really like their breadsticks.
I really like Domino's garlic sauce. Way better than Pizza Hut's. So,
Like I said, I wanted the thicker crust. I wanted the square pizza. And then I wanted the breadsticks. So, yeah, that was my hormonal breakdown. I'm like crying. Cody's like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, get me my freaking food.
Track him down.
Hunt his ass down. I was like, maybe I just go over there and be like, yeah, I'm right here. Give me my food.
I've considered that before because we don't use DoorDash anymore. Because one, it is so much more expensive than it used to be.
For sure.
But it just sat there forever. I think we ordered from a Mexican restaurant in town and it just sat there forever because they couldn't, I guess they didn't have any drivers. And it's like, okay, why the hell wouldn't you tell us that before we put in the order? Our food was ready and it sat there for like 30, 40 minutes. Like at this point, that's not safe.
Yeah, we don't have that issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe it's just because we're in a more populated area.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, because I even told Cody, like, I looked at ordering directly through DoorDash for the Pizza Hut because I knew DoorDash delivery. I already knew they did.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, maybe I'll just order directly through through DoorDash's app and get Pizza Hut. It would have been twice as much.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So I was like, nope, we'll just order through Pizza Hut's app and go from there.
Okay. Well, unfortunate lesson learned, I guess.
Yeah, I was real upset, and I was very, keep in mind, I was very hormonal. I already didn't feel well, and I was hungry, and I waited for so long for my damn pizza.
Only for it to be warped away from you.
I know. I was heartbroken. And then we got our Papa John's, which was fine. It wasn't what I wanted. It was fine. But I'm, like, demolishing that in the car because I'm so hungry.
Because you're starving.
Yeah. Babies were kicking me. It was just real rough, okay? So.
I'm sorry.
Fine. Anyways, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Okay. Oh my gosh. I forgot all about this. So, I think I texted you the other day and was like, oh, I have some big news, and then I never text you again.
Oh, you did text me again because I asked if you were pregnant.
Yeah, not funny. Absolutely not. But
look, I thought it was funny. That would be big news.
It would be a nightmare at this point, I say, as I juggle my child, the newest one.
I'm just telling you, I thought it was funny.
So, I got a new job.
Oh, yeah? Where at? Is it still at the same place you're at now?
It's still at the bank, but I'm going to the back office, which come with a rather large pay increase.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm excited for it or not. It's weird. It's like, it's bittersweet because I will not be dealing with customers face to face anymore, which I enjoy. I like that. I will be still talking to them like on the phone and in email, but I like that face to face interaction. So we'll see how this goes. But I'll be in treasury management.
Okay, but that's exciting.
I start tomorrow.
Oh, that's really exciting.
Yeah, it happened really quickly. Like, I had the interview, and then at the end of the interview, he's like, okay, well, as far as I'm concerned, there's an offer on the table. And I was like, oh, well, I'll take it. I will accept that offer. And then Friday, he reached out to my manager, and they were like, okay, Friday, your last day. Oh,
Oh, no, that's real quick.
That was really fast. Yeah. Which is part of, like, the way I believe things to be. Like, if it just, like, boom, 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 falls into place like that, I'm like, okay, I'm on the right track. If I don't have to fight for it to happen, I'm on the right track.
Right.
It's just, Bryce, I'm going to be working in a cubicle. I don't know how that's going to, feels like, I don't know. Like, the window even is behind me.
How big is your cubicle?
I don't know. It's a cube. It cool.
Well, I mean, there's different sizes of cubicles.
I don't know that. I've never seen a cubicle in real life. That was first day walking through the place.
Oh, okay. Well, the nice thing about cubicles is you could put pictures up.
Oh, yeah. I plan on getting some kind of painting or something. I did print out some new pictures because, like, one of the pictures I had hanging up at my desk was of Annie's Christmas, and it's April, so there's that.
You can keep that up as long as you want.
I'll probably keep it up till next Christmas, and then I'll just replace it.
Yeah, that's fine.
But there's a big window in my cubicle, and mine is in the front, so it's like that window in the cubicle is facing where everybody walks across, and I get distracted easily. I don't need that. So that will be leaving some way, somehow.
I don't think it'll be as distracting as you think.
I stopped mid-conversation with a customer last week because I saw a cobweb.
I still don't think that the window will be as distracting as you think.
Okay, we'll see. Hopefully not.
Normally people fight over the window cubicles.
Really? Why?
Because you have sunlight. You're not in a box with fluorescent lights above you.
Oh, no. The window doesn't go to the outside. The window faces the wall across from me, across from the walkway.
Oh.
Yeah, the windows to the outside world are two cubicles behind me.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah, then maybe, yeah, it doesn't matter. Just close those blinds or whatever. Put, like, a little calendar in there or something. Like one of the whiteboard calendars.
Ooh, that's an idea. I was going to set up, like, I was going to make some sort of curtain.
Whiteboard calendar feels easier.
It does feel easier. The curtains felt funnier, but that would involve me doing work and, like, sewing. Mm-mm, no.
Yeah, no, I would not. Mm-mm. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm, like I said, I'm nervously excited, only because I liked where I was. I really liked where I was. I had a lot of very unhappy customers. But we'll see.
Look, I still maintain I thought I was hilarious asking if you were pregnant.
You did ask, too, if I got a new job.
Yes, because I was pretty sure that's what it was. So let's just tell our listeners. You said you have some news you've been waiting to tell me until we record.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, are you pregnant? Were my TikToks correct?
They were not.
And you said, F no. And she then proceeded to say, I should have clarified and said, that's good news. I have good news.
I'm funny.
So I went, new job? No squirrels in the car? Your car is actually fixed? You won the lotto? Like, what are we doing here?
Oh, that reminds me. My car's fixed.
Again?
Yes.
Hopefully. Oh, yeah. Hey, guys. That's another thing Amanda told me about. This one was over text. I get a text saying, can we not record tonight because my car sounds like it has squirrels in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still maintain that's exactly what it sounded like. It was like making like a chittering noise.
I would like everyone to appreciate the joke I made. Cody did not appreciate it. I told Amanda, well, you know what? There are typically 4 to 5 nuts inside of your car, so it could be a squirrel. Maybe your car just identifies as a squirrel.
I mean, it could be.
So, I thought that was pretty funny.
I think it was funny, and I matter. So,
Cody doesn't matter. It's fine. So, anyway, so your car's fixed this time. What was wrong with it?
Spark plug's loose.
Okay, have we tightened everything in your car? Is everything good to go now?
I don't know, but if not, the guy that fixes my car is so nice and so understanding. Like the last time I broke down, I think I said he paid for the tow. He was like, no, you don't have to worry about that. Tell the guy I'll pay for it. And I was like, yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
And he's always super nice. He always, like, he always gets it back pretty fast. Even though he's like, I drove it around for like 2 days. And I'm like, you've only had it for three, sir. So apparently he fixes it, drives it around. And in his defense, the chittering didn't really start until I was like on the interstate, like actually going.
I maintain that you just, this car was not for you.
I hate it so much.
But you also love it because you said you love your car.
I do. Like, I really, really hated it. And then I got it back from James because first I made him drive it for multiple days. And then I got it back and I was like, oh my God, I really love my car. It has heated seats and they feel really nice on my back. I mean, there's other things too, but that's mainly it.
Oh, you just like the heated. You know, there are other cars that have heated seats.
Are there? I thought this was the only one. That's the only reason I bought it.
My car has heated seats.
The salesman, when I bought this one, he's like, it has a sunroof. And I'm like, I don't do sun, sir.
Mine also has a sunroof.
Does it have the little cover where you can pretend that it doesn't exist?
Uh-huh. But we like to have the sunroof open.
Annie likes to have the sunroof open. James was in the car the other day, and I was like, hey, watch this. And I was like, Annie, say moon. And she goes, moon. I like, open. She goes, open. And I like, push the cover back. And she goes, whoa.
Yeah, I didn't. That's not why. I just like it for myself.
Oh, I don't care for it. I like it on breezy days, like when the weather's nice, or at night when the weather's nice. I don't really like opening it dirt. Oh, or when it's raining. I like it when it's raining.
You know what's funny? That I don't like it when it's raining because I'm like paranoid that I'm going to open it, like actually open the sunroof on accident.
Oh, wait, how do you open your sunroof?
There's a button that opens it?
Yeah, but like there's a button that opens it and then I have like I can just slide the cover back.
And yeah, I'm saying like actually open the window part.
Oh, I cannot accidentally do that. They're like on the ceiling, those buttons.
Mine's on the ceiling too, but I still am paranoid I'm going to do something to open it.
So you're just going to like you're just going to like be close, jam into the radio, raise the roof, and then open the roof.
Something. I'm just, I'm paranoid. Something's going to go wrong, okay? In the rain? Oh, hell no. I don't want my car covered in water. At least if I have it closed during the rain, I have a little notice that it's open as I can hear it hitting the closed cover part.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I see that.
So everything's going well for you is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to say yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Any other updates?
I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you want to talk about some socials?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Well, guys, we've got them. We've got socials. We've got Facebook and Instagram, Hell on Heels Podcast, X, Hell on Heels Pod. So all three of those we post pictures on. Sometimes the more fun pictures of dogs and stuff, those are only posted on Facebook and Instagram because I forget to post them on X. I will admit to that. But we do post our pictures there. We also have our Discord up and going. Patreon's up and going. We have our email up. So if you want to send suggestions, whatever it is, to our email, you can email us hellonheelspodcast@gmail.com. If you're struggling to find any links for any of those things, you can go to our link tree. And if you just Google Hell on Heels Podcast link tree, it'll come right up. That has links to everything. So different listening platforms, as well as our social accounts, Discord, Patreon, all the things. And then if you guys enjoy listening to us, make sure to tell your friends, family, whoever, so that we can continue growing for you guys and continue creating these episodes for you. And then I think that's it. Did I miss anything?
Not that I know of. Or not that I noticed.
Not that you remember. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, are you ready for a story?
You know, I'm really not sure.
Okay.
But I think I have to say yes.
Okay, well, look. I'm pretty sure this case that I did today only came up because I've been following the Crystal Candelario case. Do you know which one that is?
I do not.
That is the one. I hate this woman to my core. She left her 16-month-old daughter in a pack and play while she went on vacation.
Okay. Yep.
So I've been following that case. I'll probably cover that one soonest soonish because she has been sentenced.
Thank God.
But that's not what I'm covering today. But because I've been following that case, my TikTok algorithm is a bit messed up again.
Oh boy.
And so now I'm getting really sad cases. Anyways, let's go ahead and we're going to talk about the murder of Bobby Jo Stinnett. Have you heard of this? Does it sound familiar?
Her name? It does sound familiar, but I cannot place it.
Well, Bobby Jo, she was born on December 4th, 1981. She was described as very friendly. She lifted people's spirits with her positive attitude, and she was just overall a very friendly, sweet young woman. She graduated from Nodaway Holt High School in Grand, Missouri in 2000, and she would go on to marry her high school sweetheart, Z. Stinnett. Now, I do have her husband's full name, but for privacy purposes, I am opting to refer to him as Z.
Okay.
Bobby and Z, they would run a dog breeding business from their home in Skidmore, Missouri. And she also worked at the Kawasaki manufacturing plant. So nothing too terribly crazy, but they're living the life, breeding some rat terriers, working away.
Okay.
And even better for the couple is they had found out in 2004 that they were expecting a baby. And this would have been their first baby.
Okay. Oh, no.
So Bobby Jo, she would go on to meet Lisa Marie Montgomery through a dog show event. Now, it's unclear if this was in person or online. I believe it was online and not in person.
That they met?
Yes.
Okay.
But Lisa Marie Montgomery, she was born on February 27th, 1968. Lisa Montgomery, she lived in Melbourne, Kansas. So they're not in the same state, but they're neighboring states.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Lisa had a very rough upbringing. Her mother was an alcoholic, and her mother did drink while pregnant with Lisa.
Oh, no.
And Lisa would be ultimately born with permanent brain damage due to the alcohol consumption.
Oh.
Not only that, but her home life was physically, emotionally, and sexually abusive. According to reports, Lisa was raped by her stepfather and his friends from the age of 11.
Oh, my God.
Not only that, but the stepfather and company were reported to have also beaten Lisa on multiple occasions. And after sexually abusing her or beating her, they would also urinate on her.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay. So just absolutely no respect in
no
any
regard
way, shape, or
for
form.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
This happened so frequently that eventually Lisa's stepfather would build a separate space, separate structure on the property where he would go with his friends and do these awful acts to her.
And her mom just gave a shit less.
Uh-huh. Yep. As an escape from her very terrible reality, Lisa would turn to alcohol at a very young age. Maybe not a physical escape, but a mental escape for her. Now, the reports are not clear when her alcohol abuse started, but it is presumed that it started at around the age of 11.
So probably around the age that all of this other crap started.
Yep. Now, there are reports that state that her half-sister had actually been in the home with her, not when she was being sexually abused, but they'd been in the same home together. Her half-sister was removed, and then Lisa was kept there.
Removed, like...
like, removed from the
services?
Home. Yes. But Lisa remained in the home to endure this abuse.
That's really strange that they would take one child and leave the other.
Mm-hmm. It's not clear why that was.
Yeah.
But those are some of the reports that we see. And those typically come directly from her half-sister. Now, she...
Sorry, do we know the age difference?
Her half-sister was 8 when she was 3, when Lisa was 3. So that's, what, a 5-year difference?
Okay, yeah. So her half-sister was older.
Yes.
I don't know why. For some reason, I was thinking she was younger.
No.
Okay.
But her half-sister actually experienced abuse, sexual abuse, prior to being removed. So there were stories of Lisa and her half-sister laying in the same bed, Lisa touching her sister while her sister was being abused.
So
that was her first exposure, and then she was physically abused herself starting at the age of 11. Now, initially, it's claimed that her mother was unaware of the abuse, but would find out about 3 years later when Lisa was 14. According to reports, her mother uncovered the abuse. She would threaten her already abused daughter with a gun, running into the room screaming, "How could you do this to me?"
Oh, okay, good. An adult about the whole thing.
Yeah. And I didn't mention this whole structure that her stepfather built had a separate entryway. Like, he built this with the intention of what he was using it for.
And her mom just had no clue?
No, her mom's not the greatest person.
Yeah.
Now, some reports state that in her early teen years, Lisa would be forced to prostitute herself by her own mother.
Okay.
Typically, this was her mother telling Lisa she had to, like, basically pull her weight. And Lisa was used as a payment method to pay repairmen, handyman, electrician, like, just people that came through the home.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
This poor fucking girl.
Yes. Lisa would seek escape by marrying at the age of 18. Specifically, she married her stepbrother. Oh. Unfortunately, that would not stop the abuse, because he was also abusive, and he continued to rape and abuse her as her stepbrother husband.
Okay.
And some reports claim that this abuse was sometimes on video.
Mm.
But Lisa, she would divorce her first husband, she would marry again, and her second marriage also reports claim that it was an abusive relationship, but she remained with him.
So unfortunately, she was just, this is all she knew. She was just in a cycle.
Yep. Ugh. Now, during this entire time, Lisa would have a total of 4 children. In 1990, she would get a tubal ligation, so she shouldn't be able to have any more children. Even though she had that tubal ligation, Lisa would claim to be pregnant on several different occasions, according to both her first and second husbands.
Oh.
So, anyway, so Bobby Joe and Lisa, they meet at this dog show event. It's not clear if they met online, it was like an online dog show event, or if it was in person. I'm under the impression it was all online.
Okay.
So they hit it off, and they continue interactions through a chat room called Ratter Chatter.
About rat terriers.
Yeah, about rat terriers.
Okay.
So Bobby and Lisa, they bond over the rat terriers, as well as both of them being pregnant at the same time. Remember that Lisa had that tubal ligation in 1990, but tubal ligations can fail. From what I could find, 1 in 200 women can get pregnant after a tubal ligation. I want to do a side note with that. I did not look at time frames, conditions, or anything at that in which they fail. So there might have been like a little asterisk of, in this age bracket, it's 1 in 200. Or with these conditions, it's 1 in 200. That's just the generalized number I found.
I know I asked my doctor about that when we were talking about like birth controls and stuff. And she did say that the way they used to do it, the tubes could basically kind of not really regenerate, but heal.
Mm-hmm.
And the tube just opens back up and now you're pregnant again. And apparently they do that differently now, thankfully. But that is me and my non-medical help there.
I'm pretty sure the article I read was more recent.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's there could have been asterisk saying if they have these conditions, it's 1 in 200. I don't know.
Because this is also the 90s. Early 90s? You said 90?
Well, 1990 is when she had it done, but the article I read about it, about tubal ligations, was in the 2020s.
Gotcha. So this is very early tubal ligation.
Right.
I keep wanting to say litigation. Tubal litigation. It's that's not right.
Tubal litigation, no.
That's not right at all.
But I'm just saying they can fail. So the two of them, they chat back and forth. They're bonding about their pregnancies. And at the time, you know, this is the best form of communication for them. Bobby Joe was living in Skidmore, Missouri. Lisa was living in Melbourne, Kansas. That's about a 2.5-hour drive.
Okay, not bad.
But also, like, that means that they're not hanging out in person, you know?
Yeah.
So no big deal. It is what it is. And so they're building their friendship online. On December 16th, 2004, Bobby Joe, she sets up a time with a customer, Darlene Fisher, to come look at one of the rat terriers in the Stinnett's residence, because remember, they're breeding them.
Okay.
So, Darlene Fisher, she claimed to be from Fairfax, which was about 20 miles from Bobby Joe. And so she's like, yeah, come on over. This is the time. And she invites her over at around 2:30, or they arrive around 2:30. Bobby Joe would be discovered about an hour after the customer visit at about 3:30. She was discovered in a pool of her blood by her mother, Becky Harper. Her mother had just spoken to her on the phone at 2:30 p.m. And when her mother called at 2:30, the woman was there with Bobby Joe.
Okay. I feel like I know where this is going. And I don't like it.
So Becky, her mother, would call authorities immediately. She described the scene, stating that it looked as if Bobby Joe's stomach had exploded.
Oh, God. Okay.
Now, there were attempts to resuscitate Bobby Joe. They would fail, and she would be pronounced dead at the St. Francis Hospital, though she had passed at the scene.
Okay.
There was a jagged gash across her abdomen, and the gash exposed some of her internal organs. Her official cause of death was exsanguination. So she bled out from the forced C-section that she did have. And while they believe she was unconscious when she had the C-section, or when this began, they believe she came to when the knife plunged into her.
Oh, my gosh.
So basically, she was strangled. For some reason, this is out of order. So she was strangled, passed out. She was unconscious. And then someone forced a C-section on her while she was unconscious. She woke up when the knife plunged into her. They believe that she fought back because they found blood between Bobby Joe's toes. And if she had been unconscious the whole time, there would be no reason for blood to be between her toes.
Okay.
And so at some point she would have had to stood during the attack. And investigators believe she fought off the attacker trying to save herself and her baby.
Oh, God.
Not a great look for Miss Darlene Fisher here.
If I feel like that's not her name.
Police begin their investigation very quickly. And actually, FBI and the Highway Patrol very quickly join local law enforcement with this case. They found a witness who reported seeing a dirty red subcompact car that had been parked near the Stinnett's residence. And it was a car that this person from the neighborhood did not recognize, hadn't seen in that area at all before.
Okay.
They do see that there's no signs of forced entry, so they're like, okay, so she let this person in. And they would interview and clear Bobby Joe's husband, Z. He had left for work at 7 a.m. and he had his alibi checked out. So they knew it wasn't him. He wasn't involved. So they knew she had been strangled. And at the time, Bobby Joe was 8 months pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
The injuries to her stomach did not show any evidence of there being a child of her in her womb or even harmed. Like, they could see she had been pregnant, but the baby was no longer there.
So it became, or at least it sounds like it became very apparent very quickly what this was about.
Yes. So clearly it appeared as though someone had cut the baby from her womb. Police would attempt to issue an Amber Alert to get the public's help, but it was initially denied. It was denied because at the time, an Amber Alert had never been used in the case of an unborn child.
Oh.
And realistically, police don't know if this baby is alive or not, and they have no description of the baby.
It's a newborn.
Well, yes. But Congressman Sam Graves, he would step in and he would push forward and get it approved so that they could use the Amber Alert, as the infant could very well still be alive.
Hell yeah, Sam. Okay.
So police begin looking at communications between Lisa and Bobby Joe, and police are like, let's go visit Lisa. And they're hoping to have her as a witness. So police would visit Lisa Montgomery the following morning, December 17th. Rather than gaining a witness, they would actually gain a suspect.
I was going to say, so they weren't even...
They were quick.
They weren't. I was going to say they were not even considering, like, she's sketchy. Let's go talk to her. They were like, oh, they're friends.
Well, I mean, you got to think about it this way. They knew the customer's name as Darlene Fisher.
Yeah.
And they just knew that she was having that Bobby Joe had been in communication with Lisa. quite a bit. And so they're like, well, we can see they email back and forth quite a bit. Maybe she has something. And also they see that in the communications, Lisa is also claiming to be pregnant. So it could be that there's also concern about her as well.
So this, if what I'm pretty sure happened, it really came out of nowhere.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Anyways. So. Okay. Lisa go visit Lisa Montgomery the following morning on December 17th. That day. The day that Bobby Joe had been murdered on the 16th. At about 5:15 p.m. Lisa would make a call to her husband, Kevin. She would tell Kevin that she had gone on a shopping trip to Topeka. And while shopping, she had gone into labor and actually given birth.
Oh, okay.
And she tells them, like, it was a birthing center. She can go home the same day because birthing centers do allow for that. Typical birth, no big deal.
Okay.
So she tells her husband, baby's here. Awesome. I'm heading home. Now, that's suspicious on its own. And police also had a witness report that they're like, hey, Lisa, the baby, and her husband, and two of her teenage sons were out to breakfast the morning after Bobby Joe's. It was a newborn. You know, just kind of weird. And
do
so,
we know how pregnant Lisa was? Okay.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
So, police are like, okay, well, someone's seen her with a newborn, so we can confirm that. In addition, someone had given police a tip about Lisa. Someone from Texas actually called and told police that Lisa had given birth the same day that Bobby Joe had been murdered, and that was a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
So police arrive on December 17th. They see a car, a dirty red car, that matches the witness description of the one they had gotten at the crime scene. So now police, they're like, yeah, we're pretty suspicious of this woman. So FBI agents survey the home. And they waited for Lisa and her husband, Kevin, to arrive home. And they do witness them arrive home with a baby in arms. Around this time that all this is happening, a forensic analysis of Bobby Joe's computer would go on to reveal that the Darlene Fisher emails had come from a computer that was registered to Kevin Montgomery.
Uh-huh.
So, police, when investigators get there, they enter the home. They see Lisa Montgomery inside, just holding the baby, watching TV. And so they begin talking to the family. I want to note that Kevin Montgomery, her husband, was cooperative. And detectives basically go and they say, hey, we're following up on an Amber Alert and just checking out all recent births. So Lisa would tell them she'd given birth the day before at a birthing center in Topeka. And she had gone shopping, gone to the birthing center, all that stuff. But she didn't have discharge papers.
Which you should.
Right. So detectives are like, okay. And they would somehow, while still at the home, discreetly contact the birthing center. And they would find out that there had been no births at that birthing center on December 16th, 2004.
Okay, this is coming together really quickly.
Real quick. So now knowing this and trying to keep Lisa calm because she's holding the baby, they wanted to keep the baby safe. And, you know, one of the detectives is like, hey, can I hold the baby? And Lisa's like, yeah, sure, go for it. And hands them the baby.
And she never sees it again.
Well, now investigators, they separate Lisa and Kevin. They're still asking him questions. They basically posed like, hey, we still have some more questions for you guys. Can I hold the baby while you guys keep talking to like the other detectives? Just getting everything cleared up. That's kind of how they posed it.
Okay. So we're still being normal, casual.
Yeah. So they separate Lisa and Kevin, and Lisa would tell investigators that she hadn't given birth in Topeka. That was a lie. She had done a home birth and had the help from three of her closest friends.
Okay. Why lie?
So police are like, okay, what are your friends' names? And she tells them, oh, they weren't actually here in person. They were on, like, the phone with me. It was a party call.
Okay. That's a party I do not want to go to. I don't even want to be invited.
Uh-uh. So Lisa's story is crumbling real fast here. And under the pressure, and I'm sure she's realizing at this point, police don't believe her. She actually confesses that the baby was Bobby Joe's baby. And Lisa would be arrested. Okay. Now, police believe that Kevin Montgomery had no knowledge. He truly believed that this was his child.
If that, well, I don't know. My first instinct is to be like, oh, that poor guy, but also he beats his wife, so screw you.
Yeah, I didn't get a lot of details of what he did to her, but that's okay.
I guess allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Lisa's been arrested. Now police are going to begin gathering evidence. First place they look, that red car. And in the red car, they find a note with Bobby Joe's address on it.
Oh, sure. Okay.
A bloody knife.
He just kept that.
Uh-huh. And a rope that was knotted with hair. It's not clear whose hair or how that was used.
It could have been used as a garrote.
Yes, that's what I'm assuming.
Okay.
They would then search Lisa's computer and find that Lisa had been tracking Bobby Joe's pregnancy through pictures.
Oh, that's new. That's like
creepy.
Yeah, I was gonna say like this whole thing's creepy, but that's like another level.
Like, I'm not posting my bump pictures for one because I've sent you a couple of them and you can tell I don't get ready for my bump pictures. I don't look cute in them. It's just like I want to see my belly progress.
Yes.
So, weird enough. Also, Lisa had searched cesarean sections on her computer. And she had done research on how to perform a cesarean section. Yeah.
Is she okay mentally? I mean, given everything she's gone through, but still, like, to go to these lengths?
I mean, I think anyone that goes to these lengths is not okay mentally.
Fair. But, like, this just, she did not snap.
No. This was premeditated as hell.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we've had a lot of premeditated cases lately, but that might just be me.
I don't know. I stopped paying attention. I'm kidding.
I mean, honestly, once I report, I try to get it out of there.
Yeah, we try to black out what we learned or heard.
At least for a little while, or until someone brings it up. And I'm like, if someone brings it up in casual conversation, I'm like, oh, actually, I know a pretty good bit about John Wayne Gacy. Let's chat.
Yeah, no, I am like, yeah, I heard about that. Let's black that out until I have to edit. They also found evidence of the arranged meeting via Darlene Fisher.
Uh-huh.
On December 16th. So they're like, a lot of evidence against you, man. Like, yeah, everything's falling into place.
She really didn't get rid of anything either.
So essentially what happened, Lisa posed as a customer interested in buying one of Bobby Joe's dogs. When she gets there, she would overpower and strangle Lisa, cut her open, take the baby, claim the baby as her own, head home, and just act like nothing happened.
Okay.
So, police, after they arrest Lisa, they recover the baby. They would go on to DNA test the baby and confirm the identity as being that of the child of Bobby Joe. Before they did that, though, they did reunite the baby with Z, the father. So, the baby girl is placed in the care of their father, and police begin looking into motives. And they speculate that Lisa Montgomery's motive stemmed from a miscarriage. They believe that she had been able to hide the miscarriage from family. And again, this is speculation. And additional speculation is that she was desperate to have another child as to not lose her current children. Because prosecutors believe that her ex-husband had plans to reveal Lisa as having lied numerous times about having been pregnant since 1990. And then this way he could potentially get custody of their shared children. So in order to conceal her lies, she had to produce a child.
Oh, okay.
So that's just one theory, one speculation. Lisa, she is charged with, I have two different things. I have first degree murder or kidnapping resulting in death. Most sources said kidnapping resulting in death, which is a federal offense.
Okay.
Now, this is a federal offense that could carry a sentence of life in prison or even the death penalty. So it's
good to be.
Yeah. Now, during a pretrial hearing, a neuropsychologist would testify that Montgomery had some head injuries she had sustained from abuse years before. And they stated this could have damaged the part of her brain that controls aggression. And okay. So she's going into federal court. So keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. So Lisa Montgomery's defense team was led by Frederick Duchard. Now, before trial, he was working on a line of defense that would state that Lisa did not kill Bobby Joe. Lisa's brother, Tommy, had done it.
Cool.
But that line of defense would fall apart just 1 week prior to trial starting because Tommy had a rock solid alibi.
Wow, he really just didn't even do his homework. He just pointed and was like, no, he did it.
No, there's actually a lot about people saying he only went and visited his client 3 times. There's a lot. So we'll talk about. So one very short week before trial, he would change his line of defense from blaming someone else to asserting that Lisa had pseudocyesis. Which sure. Pseudocyesis is known as a false pregnancy.
Oh, okay.
It is considered a mental condition that causes a woman to believe they are pregnant. And this is a condition that many times the body will begin to outwardly exhibit signs of pregnancy as well. So due to this turn of events in the defense strategy, Lisa Montgomery's family actually would refuse to cooperate with the defense attorney. Some reports stated that her family would still go on to describe her background to the jury, but I couldn't get confirmation on that one.
Okay.
The defense would call Dr. V.S. Ramachandran and M.D. William Logan to give their expert testimony during trial. Both would state that Lisa Montgomery did suffer from pseudocyesis, depression, borderline personality disorder, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Ramachandran specifically would testify that Lisa's stories about her actions fluctuate so much because she was in a delusional state and she wasn't able to understand her actions fully. Now, I do want to give Ramachandran a quick shout out because this dude's not like just a doctor from the clinic down the street. He's well known. He is a well-known neuroscientist. Like, he has his own wiki page and everything.
Oh, okay.
He invented the mirror box, which has to do with phantom limb pain. So, like, he does a lot of research, and he is a smart guy. So, I don't want to discredit him at all, because I do think he's very credible in his opinions and stuff. But I'm also going to say the prosecution was having none of it. They were like, no, she did not have pseudocyesis.
I'm glad that you threw that in there, because, like, I was sitting here thinking... Before you said that, I was like, okay, the pseudocyesis, did I say that right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, the pseudocyesis, I guess I don't have an opinion on that, okay? I wasn't there, I don't know. But to say, like, she was in a delusional state, she did a lot of research and a lot of homework to be in a delusional state, in my mm-hmm. opinion, in my mm-hmm. very uneducated opinion. But yeah. If he is that... well-known and that educated, I kind of like, okay, I'll listen to what you have to say. I still don't know, but mm-hmm. I'll listen.
Right. So the prosecution, like I said, they're having none of it. They're like, no. Roseanne Ketchmark, she was the federal prosecutor. She would pull her expert forensic psychiatrist, Park Dietzen. Now, both Roseanne and Park Dietz, they're like, we disagree with this diagnosis, specifically the pseudocyesis. And this is another shout out to Park Dietz, because he is also very well known and well respected in his field. He has been consulted and or testified in a lot of high profile cases in the U.S. Those include John W. Hinckley Jr. Do you know who that is?
I do not.
Attempted assassination of a president. Yeah.
Oh.
He's also Joel Rifkin. So these are serial killers I'm going through. Joe Rifkin. Arthur Shawcross, or the Genesee River Killer. Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh.
Ed Kaczynski, the Unabomber. Robert Kukinskit, the Iceman. The DC Sniper Attacks. William Bonin, the Freeway Strangler. And the Waco Massacre. So I want to give
the same guy.
This is all Park Dietz.
Holy crap. Okay.
So, like I said, I want to give him credit where credit's due, because he's also very well respected.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all very high profile cases. And I read about the Waco massacre. He like wrote a letter stating like the abuse isn't going to stop for these children. Like,
yeah,
there's no negotiating with these guys.
Okay.
Anyways. So like I said, he knows his stuff too, but he would ultimately say that in the case of Bobby Joe, she was not suffering with a false pregnancy. So they have their arguments. And on October 22nd, 2007, some report said within 5 hours, the jury would find Lisa Montgomery guilty of kidnapping resulting in death. They also struggled to believe that she killed Bobby Joe due to pseudocyesis. And the jury, while they were not sentencing, they did recommend the death sentence in this case. Okay. Now, on April 4th, 2008, Judge Gary A. Fenner would sentence Lisa Montgomery to death.
Okay.
Of course, Montgomery, she appeals with her new defense team, who would uncover her past trauma and abuse. And basically, her new defense team is like, why was your past trauma, abuse, all of that never presented in court? So her original attorney basically focused on the pseudocyesis and not about her past traumas. So her new defense team is looking at this and going, what in the actual hell?
Like, did you care? Was he assigned to her?
I'm not sure on that one.
Because it kind of sounds like he was and he wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that one. But people were not thrilled with how he conducted the case.
Yeah. Like, I'm not her biggest fan by any means, but if mental health and mental history has something to do with it, then...
It wasn't taken into sentencing.
Yeah.
So that's one thing where people are like, it should have been considered during sentencing.
It sounds like it was barely mentioned.
It wasn't mentioned.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, he did her... Like, I don't like her, but still, like, she was... I don't feel like that's a fair trial.
Yeah. So, in many of the appeals, her lawyers would argue that she technically did not commit the crime she was convicted of. She didn't kidnap Bobby Joe. She kidnapped V. Stinnett, and V remains alive. So, like her father, I do know the child's name, but for privacy reasons, I'm opting to use her initial only.
Okay.
And so, basically, they're arguing V was not even considered a person until she was removed from Bobby Joe's womb. So, it wasn't a kidnapping that resulted in death. It was a death that resulted in kidnapping.
Which I'm guessing is not a federal thing.
They were dismissed. They're like, either way, murder is murder. Like, this was premeditated as hell.
Yeah.
And the court stated that the felony murder rule ultimately nullified their arguments. In order for the kidnapping to happen, Montgomery had to kill Bobby Joe. So the intention was kidnapping, and it did result in death. Just not the death of the kidnappee.
Okay, so we're... Not that I don't agree with it, but we're arguing... Kind of arguing semantics here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the court, they dismissed those claims. They're like, no, no, no. They also, they argue that she had improper defense, those types of things. Now, in 2011, Montgomery would submit a certiorari petition. It's kind of like an appeal, but not quite. I didn't quite fully understand it, but they're very closely related.
Okay.
And March 19th, 2012, her writ of certiorari was denied. So she's not getting a new trial. Her trial's not being reviewed again. And like I mentioned, there were many critics of Montgomery's official defense team. So they said her full defense, including past trauma and other diagnoses, mental illnesses, were not actually fully revealed until after her conviction. And they were like, he was just incompetent. And many people said that her original attorney, Duchart, this wasn't his only death row client.
Okay.
Meaning that this isn't his only person he's defended that ended up with the death sentence.
And how so many?
There was at least one other. But I didn't get a full picture of that. So they're just like, what is happening here? Now, Duchart, he was cross-examined in November of 2016, and he rejects criticism. He's like, I know what I did. I fully support what I did with my conduct there. And he feels comfortable with what he did. From what I found, there were no repercussions for him. But I will say her new attorneys, her new defense team, are like, this is bullshit. So as time goes on, her lawyers would pull from the case of Atkins v. Virginia, which was a ruling that stated that executing individuals with intellectual disabilities violate the Eighth Amendment regarding cruel and unusual punishment. Now, Lisa did have a multitude of mental illnesses, and experts who examined her after conviction would state she would often be disassociated from reality. She also had permanent brain damage from past traumatic experiences. I did not mention this earlier, but her stepfather, if she would fight back while the abuse was going on, he would often slam her head into the concrete ground. And there was evidence that that was potentially a cause of the brain damage. So based off of that ruling from Atkins versus Virginia, she would technically not be eligible for the death penalty. Now, Montgomery, she was initially scheduled for execution in December 2020. This is delayed, mostly because her attorneys at the time all got COVID. So they tried to reschedule for January 12th, 2021, and the U.S. District Court would say, nay, there was a stay of execution while her case was reviewed to determine if her execution did defy the Eighth Amendment. And they stated that rescheduling her execution could not happen before January 1st, 2022. On January 1st, 2021, a 3-judge panel would vacate that ruling that they could not. So they're saying, we're going to vacate that. You can reschedule her execution. So she's scheduled again for January 12th, 2021. On January 12th, 2021, U.S. District Judge Patrick Hanlon granted a stay of execution on the grounds that her mental health competence had not been tested. That stay would then be vacated by the Supreme Court in a 6-3 vote, and her execution was ordered to be carried out immediately. And this was all on January 12th.
Okay. There's a lot of whiplash here.
Yes, there's a lot of whiplash right there. But ultimately, she would be executed January 13th, 2021 in the Terre Haute, Indiana facility. When asked if she had any last words, she stated no. It is reported that as the lethal injection began, Lisa Montgomery kept licking her lips and gasped briefly as the medication entered her body. Doesn't sound pleasant. Uh-oh. But Lisa Montgomery was the first female federal prisoner that had been executed in 67 years. She was the first woman executed in the U.S. since 2015. She was also the first person executed in 2021. In the U.S. So after her execution, we go a couple years, and in 2023, one of her attorneys would actually state that the legal team had considered taking her off the medications that were stabilizing her. This was intended for her to have a psychotic break, and it would have been in an attempt to postpone her execution and prove her mental fragility. But they only considered that briefly and did not do that.
Okay. That doesn't feel like a good ethical idea.
Yeah. They did state they didn't want to do that to her either.
Yeah.
So they did come forward and say, we did consider it. We didn't ever really, it was very brief consideration. Now, there's been a lot of controversy and discourse with her execution, as many believe that it was done against her Eighth Amendment right. Still many debate if she should have been spared or not due to her past trauma and abuse and her mental state. So you have a lot of back and forth on those, and there's a lot of conflicts there. Now, Lisa Montgomery, she is often referred to as the womb raider killer.
Ew.
It's awful, I know. If you look up womb raider killer, you will find other results of other women doing this same thing. So just a fair warning.
Stop.
Yeah.
Can we not make that a thing? I don't want that to be a thing.
It's too late. Someone already made it a thing.
You bastards.
Yeah. Now, not much is known about Baby V or her whereabouts. The family works very hard to protect her privacy and give her the most normal life possible. We know she is still being raised by her father, who has done everything he can to make sure she has had a happy, healthy life. Now, the hard part for this family is that V's birthday falls on the anniversary of her mother's death, who would have passed at the very young age of 23 years old.
I don't know why, but that did not even occur to me. Oh my god.
I didn't mention it until just now. Yeah, sorry.
She was so young.
Mm-hmm. And that is the case of Bobby Joe Stinnett.
I hate it.
It was awful.
And I don't like the outcome.
Is it because you're conflicted?
Yeah. Like, I don't feel like she got a fair trial.
Yeah. I'm conflicted on that one, too.
At the very least, I feel like she should have been retried. Because I feel like her past mental history, and especially if she had to be on medication to help stabilize her, that feels like that should have been information that was included.
I don't know that the medication to stabilize her really came into play until after her conviction, though.
Yeah. I just mean, like, if she was retried, I feel like that should have been mentioned as well.
Right. That should have been considered in sentencing.
Yes.
And that's why a lot of people are like, that wasn't ever even considered in sentencing. He focused, the original attorney focused so much on the pseudocyesis that, she was done an injustice, is what they say.
Yeah.
Just because her past medical, or not medical, her past trauma and abuse was never brought up.
It's one of those that leads you with a what if. Like, what if we would have just gotten her help instead? What would have happened? And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I don't like feeling that way. Thanks for this.
Sorry.
I did know this case, but I did not know the details of it.
Yeah, I figured you probably did.
Oh.
Anyways, I think I'm ready for a new story.
Okay, cool. So, I have a Scandinavian folklore for you. Tell me if you've heard of it. It's the Kraken.
Oh, no, never heard of that. Oh, I forgot to mention their pictures.
What?
On the drive. Oh. Pictures on the drive. Sorry.
I assumed the middle one, or I assumed the last one was Lisa.
Yes, the one with the grumpy face is Lisa.
Yes, because that looks like possibly a prison photo.
I think it is.
Okay, I don't know why. She's not in orange, but it just, I don't know.
She looks upset that she got caught. Anyways, go on.
Okay. Yeah, the Kraken. So this is, we all know what it is. If you don't, where have you been?
Have you been living under a rock?
Crawl out of it and listen to my story. So the Kraken is an aggressive, tentacled, cephalopod-like creature. Scientists believe stories of the Kraken started when the remains of maybe giant squid or a big octopus washed ashore. But people back in the day were like, oh my God, look at this great beast of the sea sent to devour our children.
Yes, exactly.
There is other stories. I found a lot, actually, of other stories of big boat-hating sea creatures in other countries and cultures. And there have been more Scandinavian folklores as well. But from what I read, they kind of came and went, whereas the Kraken stayed.
Okay.
Now, hundreds of years ago, they were in, what? I'm sorry. So, stories of the Kraken, they spread throughout Norway, and these, like I said, what's now believed to be a giant squid or this really big octopus, they were interpreted as messengers of either God or the devil. I mean, have you ever seen a giant squid? That's fair. That's the devil.
I mean, I was going to say, I don't think it's of God. I would think that's of the devil.
That is absolutely the devil. I hate giant squid. That is my irrational fear. To the point where I used to have nightmares about them. The same nightmare. I used to have nightmare about them. Reoccurring nightmare.
Okay.
Yeah. I hate it so much it makes me nauseous, but here we are talking about the Kraken.
Well, there it is.
Yeah. I like the Kraken. Like, I think it's interesting as hell. Giant squid, vomitous. Absolutely not. Yeah, just horrible creatures. But hundreds of years ago, sailors were terrified of the Kraken. And this mythical beast, they said, had a taste for human flesh. It targets boats, and it dragged humans to the deepest depths of the sea to be devoured.
I mean, fair.
Yeah, like, it just sounds terrifying. Yeah, I get it. And when seafarers first started venturing out to discover what's over the horizons, you know, Moana-esque maybe, I don't know, they didn't know what a lot of animals were. So they would see them for the first time. They're strange. And, okay, we've all seen Finding Nemo, right? Like the deep, deep sea creatures. They're terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, the teeth on those things, the eyes. Have you ever seen an anglerfish? It is my favorite marine animal, but it's terrifying.
I never want to encounter the ones with the lights.
Yeah, that's an anglerfish.
Yeah, okay. Never.
Yeah, that's an anglerfish, the one with the lights that literally fishes for other fish to eat.
Uh-huh.
There's a saying that goes, the tale grows in the telling. And that's what a lot of people believe what's happened in, you know, with the Kraken. That's where they believe that this thing kind of came from. In 1180, King Sverre of Norway, he mentioned the Kraken in a manuscript. And it was just one of many sea creatures. He said that this creature was as big as an island. It easily sunk ships that crossed it, and it lurked in the seas, specifically between Norway and Iceland, and between Iceland and Greenland. So I don't know why the Kraken maybe he liked these waters, maybe he liked the land, maybe he hated the people, I don't know, but that's where he stayed. Early on in its, I guess in the telling of these tales, the Kraken varied slightly from story to story. But in the beginning of the 18th century, it started to mold into what we know it to be today. And it's just a big, angry cephalopod, a big, angry squid-like creature. Scientists and historians think this is because by this time, sailing the sea was so much more common. So were the sightings of this Kraken. And the Kraken is known... I'm sorry, what?
I said makes sense.
Yeah. And the Kraken is known by many names, including Kraxen, Krabben, Sky Kraken, and Crabfish. Oh. Okay.
Guy Kraken?
Sky Kraken. Crabfish.
Is he flying now?
That's my confusion. I don't know when we went from sea to sky, and I also don't know when crabs got involved, because I was going to say one of these things is not like the other, but really two of these things are not like the other.
I really wanted to say that's what she said when you said, I don't know when crabs got involved.
Oh, I mute to cough because I was not expecting that. That was good.
I held it back for like 30 seconds and I was like, I can't anymore. I have to share this with her.
No, I'm glad you did. Sailors claim that even a small Kraken could easily destroy ships with its tentacles. Or if it didn't just drag it down to the sea, the bottom of the sea, it would create a maelstrom that would drag the ship to the bottom of the ocean by swimming in circles underneath the ship and just basically creating a big whirlpool.
Pretty talented.
I don't like that it's that intelligent.
That's your fear, not mine.
Ugh. And that's just the babies. The big boys, like the big crack, they're all big. But the real big boys, whenever they would dive down, it would just pull the ship down with it. it would pull everything down with it. So the Kraken were also said to have an insatiable hunger for humans. They could easily eat an entire fleet of sailors. No big deal.
That's what she said.
Should I have said seamen? Do you want me to do it again?
Yeah, do it one more time.
It could easily eat an entire fleet of seamen.
That's what she said.
Nailed it. They also believed that it pooped amber. Not the person. The fossilized tree resin.
Now we know where Amber Turd came from.
From the fossil butt. What? The Kraken butt. It was also said that when the Kraken emerged from the sea, schools of fishes cascaded down its back. And I kind of... We'll come back to that later. I think I found something that makes that make sense. But just hold on to that, okay? They believe that the Kraken also smelled irresistible to fish. Either it was just the smell, or the fish ate its amber poop, and that's why the fish stuck around them so much. Either way, some fishermen that were potentially... No, not potentially. Some fishermen that were much more brave than I would probably ever be, they would actually seek out the Kraken. Because they... If you find the Kraken, you're going to find these schools of fish, and that's what they wanted. They were like, this is going to be...
Pretty fair, though, for them to be like, this is my livelihood.
Yeah.
Look at all these fish I caught.
Why fish all day when we can just find a Kraken and fish for 2 hours and just then go home and, I don't know, drink or something. I don't know what people did back then. Danish historian Erik Pontoppidan. That's my best guess, by the way. I'm sorry, Erik. He had a ridiculously detailed account of the Kraken.
Oh, well, now, he knew this personally.
What?
Sounds like he knew the Kraken personally.
I think he did, actually. Okay. They were on a first name basis.
Gotcha. So he wasn't calling him the Kraken. He was just calling him Kraken Bud.
No, they were, it was Erik and Skye.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He wrote the National History of Norway. It was published in 1755. And I read a lot of this book. You can find it online. You can read a lot of it for free. It was hard to read. Not because, you know, this is back in the, like, I don't know, kind of flowery writing, but because it was back in some of the fancy writing, and some of the S's looked like F's. So that was confusing, but we made it okay.
Okay.
Now, in this book, really good read, by the way, he claimed the Kraken is round, flat, full of branches or arms, and he said that it is the largest and most surprising of all animal creation.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I don't know what his sources are, but multiple fishermen told him stories of this beast, and all of them were similar. Not similar enough to be, like, sketchy, but enough to be believable.
Okay.
They basically told him that if you row a couple miles out to sea, you're in Kraken territory. You're in Kraken territory.
James is about to be in Kraken territory, isn't he?
Yeah, if you row a couple miles out to sea, you are in Kraken territory. Some fishermen, like I said earlier, were braver than others, and they would seek that out. And Pombadin claimed that these guys would go out fishing specifically for cod and ling, and they would go to their regular holes and start casting. And then all of a sudden, you're reeling in fish, like, no sooner than your hook hits the water, you're reeling it back in. And whenever this happens, he said that you can see up to 20 boats just hanging out around each other, but still being respectful of the other fishermen's lines, just raking in these fish. And he said that they figure that that's because the Kraken is hanging out at the bottom of the ocean, and all of the fish are swimming farther up to escape it. I mean, I don't want to be anywhere near it, so.
I just thought he had ecosystems of fish living on him.
Yeah, it says one of, it says both. It says amber poop. They like it.
Okay.
Now, when all of a sudden these fish stop biting, it's time to get going. Because the Kraken is not on the bottom of the ocean anymore.
He's coming up.
He's coming up. So these fishermen, they throw their lines down and they row as fast as they can to safer waters, which I've read can be up to like a mile away, sometimes more. And then they just wait. They just kind of hang out. He said specifically that they rest on their oars. And the men that have been able to escape this claim to have watched the Kraken surface after they fled this area. Its back was a mile and a half in circumference. And it was so big, it looked like a series of small islands in the water. And it was surrounded by what looked like seaweed, just kind of floating in the water. And when the bigger ones surface, they are so big that the fish are trapped on their backs and they have to flop around until they fall off and land back in the water, which would explain these cascading waterfalls of fish that they were saying that they saw.
I just thought he like broke the water so fast that there was still water on him. Like, I can't, maybe it's Moana where you see something emerge and there's still like a layer of water. I just imagine he's got a thicker layer of water with the fish swimming down.
That's kind of what it sounded like. This to me makes more sense. It's more believable. I like personally the waterfall aspect, but look, I don't know. I've never seen a Kraken. People then claim to see these horns coming up or off of the water, and these horns are growing and they get taller and taller until they're the size of a ship's mast. And that's when they realize that these are tentacles that I guess he's just like, blah, 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 like
for the dramatics.
Them. Yeah. Raising them up in the air. Maybe he's waving.
He's giving you a chance. He's like, look how scary.
When the Kraken has been on the surface for a little bit, it slowly sinks back into the water. And that's when this is said to be the most dangerous, because the swell that it creates as it sinks back down is going to make that whirlpool like thing. And if you're too close, you're going with it.
All he's doing is like, all right, I'm not welcome. I'm going back down.
Yeah, he's just like, all right, gotta go, guys. Now, this Pompadour fella, he also references a Swedish physician named Dr. Urban Hirn. And he talks about this piece of land around the rocks near Stockholm. And he had seen this land on a map, but he's never seen the land in real life. And the people that live nearby call it Gummersor. And they told him that basically sometimes this little island is there and sometimes it's not. And the land that he's looking for, this island, is out in open sea. So one Sunday, he's at the rocks when he sees three points of land out at sea. And this surprised him because he's never seen this before. And he calls out to this person that lives in the community. And he's like, hey, is that Gummersor? And the guy's like, yeah. And he's like, okay, I guess I just missed it. Can you take me to it? And I guess the guy's like, sure. But by the time he gets over to Dr. Hearn with his boat, the island's just gone. This is when Urban was like, well, obviously, that's not the tide. That's a Kraken. And this big dumb map maker, he thought it was an island, and he put it on his map.
Cool.
Pontoppidan also says that the Kraken, he goes through months of eating, followed by months of pooping.
So, and like a hibernation type of thing, but his hibernation is expelling the contents of his bowels?
Yes. There's just amber everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. This makes the water cloudy, and fish absolutely just lose their minds for this. They love the smell. They love the taste. They're like gross little toddlers, and they're just loving this. And the Kraken just kind of hangs out in this water. And when a school of fish gets unknowingly close, the Kraken opens up its tentacles and just swallows this huge amount of fish in one gulp. Just kind of like rakes it in towards his beak.
That's fair. You know what? I do that too with my food. That's why I have a fork and I just...
Yeah, you get the fork in one hand and the spoon in the other and you just shovel it.
Uh-huh. We command strip the plates to the table just so they don't move.
We need to try that. I can never get my plate to stop moving. I just use my face. Many scientists and historians today believe that the Kraken was actually just a giant squid or a large octopus, like I said. Because the giant squid, they were not scientifically identified until 1856, which just feels really late. But they live so far down that we don't know much about them. Still, to this day, don't know a whole lot about them. I think there's one video that I did not watch of a live giant squid. Why the hell would I want to watch that? The largest one found to date was 18 meters. That is 59 feet long. A giant squid's eye, Bryce, is the largest in the animal kingdom. It is 10 inches in diameter. Would you like to know how big that is?
Well, you just said 10 inches in diameter, so that's like almost a foot all the way around. Soccer ball size.
In reference, it's... Actually, the reference I have is it is as big as the dinner plate that is command stripped to your table.
Oh!
Or a human head.
A soccer ball sized.
I absolutely hate the thought of staring into the eye of something. And this eye is as big as my freaking face. Ugh, I'm not sleeping tonight. Jesus. Giant squid, they have no muscles in their tentacles. And this is kind of interesting because a giant squid, their predators are sperm whales. And you can find sperm whales that are just... Yeah, I know. These whales and these squid are just battling it out in the depths of the ocean.
They're just talking shit about each other's mamas all day long, okay?
You can find sperm whales that have the scars all down their sides from where giant squid will wrap themselves around them. The only problem is then they're kind of stuck there, so they have to just, like, ink and squid away. But these scars are formed by these sharp teeth that are in the suckers on their tentacles. And these teeth-like things are made from the same... I can't think of the word. Substance. Oh. Look, it's right there in my notes. I'm sorry. This is how disturbed I am. I'm just going off memory right now. These little sharp teeth-like things in their suckers are made from the same substance our fingernails are. And they just kind of like cling and rip. Ugh. So like I said, we know a shockingly small amount about giant squid. But... people claim that the stories of the Kraken could have been exaggerated either through fear, understandable, or just your typical fisherman stories. Personally, I like to believe that the Kraken is its own being because I like the Kraken and I hate giant squid. But they've never been seen in the same room at the same time.
That's what you say.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a giant squid in the room with a Kraken?
Daily.
I do not want to go anywhere near you ever.
room in the back with the kraken and the giant squid.
My next animal, I don't care what it is, my next animal, be it a dog, be it a hamster, it's going to be named Kraken. The Kraken, actually. Kraken's the middle name.
So you have to get two then. You have to get, like, dog, cat, whatever. You'll have one named the Kraken, and the other one is giant squid. And then you'll see them in the same room all the time.
I can call them Kraken GS. No, it would be squid. Kraken squid.
I was going to say, it would probably end up Kraken and squid.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So that's the Kraken.
I love the Kraken.
I love the Kraken. And not a whole lot of information. I mean, it's a bunch of stuff we already knew. I did not know that they shat amber. That's new to me.
That's news to me as well. I didn't know that would be a thing until you said it. And I'm just trying to be respectful of their condition. Because I feel like that's not normal.
I feel like it would hurt, right? Like, I don't know much about amber, but...
I don't think that would hurt, but I keep thinking about, I'm like, it's not ulcerative colitis. But it seems like it's on par with that misery there.
You know what? I need someone with Crohn's to weigh in.
Yeah, someone with Crohn's, let us know.
Yeah.
Do you think that would be Crohn's-esque, or do you think it'd be worse or better? What do you think?
Yeah.
Or is that its own condition?
You know what? Maybe they're just used to it. Because, like, wombats, they poop cubes, and that's completely normal to them.
Why am I struggling to understand that? And why you know that? That's another question.
I don't know. I wish I could tell you. But are you Googling it? Google it right now. Wombats. It's the wildest thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it sure says that. That's what it is.
Uh-huh. Oh, you did the image search? Is that just me?
No, I did not. It says wombats are the only species known to make these box-shaped poops.
Yup.
Which scientists believe they strategically place to communicate with each other. So maybe that's what it is. The krakens, they're like shitting amber into messages at the bottom of the ocean.
So it actually is the person. And she's just like the Hermes of the Kraken.
Something. I don't know. Lord, I should not be hearing this. I'm a little tired and anticipating a midnight start time. So
I did Google it, by the way, and wombats poop cubes, one because of the drying of the feces in the colon, and two because of muscular contraptions.
Contraptions or contractions?
That one. What's the difference, honestly, at this point? Contractions that form the uniform size and corners.
That seems awful. Oh, do we need to go on a wombat mission to help them?
I feel like we do. I would never want to poop a corner.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's just...
And think about it. Amber, that's got to be spiky sometimes. Like, it's not round all the time, you know?
Yes, like, it's, like, oddly shaped.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like it's not always smooth. Oh my god, people that are wearing amber or have like amber jewelry, they're wearing Kraken poop.
Dang, now I want amber jewelry. But I've already asked for my Mother's Day gift.
Is it too late to change it?
What's the next holiday? It might be, because it was... I had a strange ask. I told James for Mother's Day I wanted a corvid offering table.
Okay.
So I could feed the corvids in our neighborhood. I want them to bring me things. Okay. Which that's like, that'll take a couple years, but I just want to feed crows, man.
Okay. Well, you feed the crows. While you feed the crows, we're going to say thank you all for listening to Hell and Heels Podcast. To see pictures from this episode, you can follow us on Instagram, Hell and Heels Podcast, X, formerly Twitter, Hell and Heels Pod, or Facebook, Hell and Heels Podcast. You can find us on Linktree by typing in Hell and Heels Podcast Linktree. We should be the very first Google search that comes up. If you want to support us, please like, review, share, and rate and subscribe on your preferred listening platforms. If you want to take your support one step further so we can create additional content for you, you can donate through Patreon. We're working to release specials for our patrons. If you have your own true crime or paranormal story, suggestions, or words of encouragement, please email us at helenhealspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to tell your friends to listen with you as well. Bye.
Bye.